pimps, cheeks. Yeah, Rockefeller, y'all. Yo, I'm making short-term goals when the weather falls. Yes, put away the leathers and put ice on the gold. Chilly with enough bell money to free a big willy. High stakes, I got more at stake than Philly. Shopping sprees, copping three. Deuce fever, IS's, fully loaded. Yes, bouncing in the Lex Luger. Tire smoke like...
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for checking out Spin Class. Today, we are tackling the 1996 debut album by Jay-Z, a.k.a. Reasonable Doubt, and across the country, I am joined, as always, by Tyler Kale. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? It's good to be back. We're like veterans now. We've done so many shows together. I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, I feel like a brother from another mother. Like, I know what you're thinking. Even though we don't talk for weeks on end, when we come back, it's just like we never left, you know?
That's right. And don't confuse this album with that movie with Samuel L. Jackson, by the way. A lot of people make that huge mistake.
Was that a really bad movie? Because I don't even remember seeing it.
Me neither. I just know there was one called that.
So. There has to be like a gangster flick from like 1929 called Reasonable Doubt. Or why did he pick that? It's such a perfect title for a gangster album. Like,
probably.
I'm not sure. I didn't do my complete research. But we got a little bit to catch up.
I've been listening to it in the car, so there you go.
Nice. Yes, it's definitely a classic. And, since the last time we spoke, I got to, it was last Saturday, I got to help out with the Adam Carolla Show live at the Vic Theater here in Chicago. And, it's been like two or three times I've helped out with them. That's kind of how I met you through the whole Carolla universe. And, this time Giovanni Giorgio, the super fan, he had moved away, so I kind of moved up a slot, and it was really nice. Me and this guy, Kevin, it's funny, because we bought tickets, because I just want to make sure everything's on the up and up, you know, I don't want to be the moocher dude who just wants to hang out with the crew.
Sure.
We bought the tickets, they were $50, because they were sold out, so I had to find a way to get tickets, they're $50 each, but, the guy who I was with, this Kevin guy, he knows all about how to just get into stuff. He's like, I don't know, Catch Me If You Can or something like that. He can just smooth talk his way into things. So we just show up an hour early, an hour before doors. He just walks into the venue. He's like, hold on, wait a second, wait in the car. Comes out 2 minutes later, he's got parking passes. We actually got a better parking spot than the Carolla crew. We got the pole position right in front of the place. And, it was an awesome night. Got to chill backstage, got to meet Jonathan Brandmeier, who was like, he's a Chicago radio guy, but he's, you know, been around for 30 years. So he was the guest. If you know, Carolla will have a guest on the live shows, but yeah, I got to meet Bald Brian, Gina Grad, and, Mike August. I met him again. So
now is Gina the permanent co-host? I thought she was just filling in for a minute while Rosen was out.
That's what I thought, but it's been, I think that was January or something, so I'm pretty sure she's in full time.
Oh, nice. Yeah, she's very, very nice. I met her at some point. I feel like when I was there, they were holding the contest as to who was going to fill in for Teresa.
Nice. Okay, yeah. She couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah, it was her and Rosen, and I can't remember my favorite one, the prettiest one. Shira Lazar. That
nice.
Was her name. Yeah. She was the sexiest, but the least good, which is usually the case out of
it tends
girls
to happen.
In general. Yeah.
But it was great, yes. And then we were supposed to work the merch booth. The Vic Theater had a merch booth person already, and it was like, you know, 4x4, and me and Kevin aren't like the smallest guys, so we're like, why don't we just let her deal with it? And we watched a show from the side stage. It was great. We watched a show with Gary, pretty much. And Gary's, hustling on his laptop. We're just kicking back. And finally, he goes down and talks to August. He goes, we have to go buy pizza, and then we have to buy cigarettes for Ace Man. So I'm like, okay, that's a good enough job for, being able to watch on the stage.
What does Gary do exactly?
Gary pulls up everything that you see on a screen behind him. It's pretty much just I'm sure it's just a PowerPoint. There's Adobe.
So I'm pretty sure Donnie used to do that. So he's like the new Donnie.
I'm pretty sure he is, and he's the guy who's got, like, the most stress involved, I guess.
Well, what does Fondelier do, though?
Fondelier was not there. I guess he says Fondelier never travels.
Oh. Huh.
Except for one time when August was sick or something. Fondelier traveled, and I met Fondelier out here in the suburbs of Chicago.
He's really good. I like that guy a lot. I want to do his show again. I mean, it's been like 3 years. He's good at ping pong, too. He beat me. He freaking beat me at ping pong, and I'm awesome at ping pong, and he beat me.
I can get pretty good at some ping pong, so yeah, I'd like to see that. Nice.
I was a college tennis player, though. It's like the same thing. Like, I'm exceptionally good at ping pong, and he's like one of those Japanese guys.
Nice.
That beat Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I got back into tennis this summer, too, after finding a nice racket, and yeah, it had been 6 or 7 years, and I'm decent, yeah.
I'll teach you if you come out here. I used to teach at a club, for real.
Nice. You got a real fast serve on you?
I mean, I'm small, so no, it wasn't like my best thing, like Mark Philippoussis.
Gotcha. Yeah, my serve is my weak spot. I can volley, though, pretty damn good. But yeah, it was a great night. Mike Dawson couldn't have been a nicer guy. He's exactly what you think he'd look like.
Gosh, I really never talked to him. I don't know much about him. I met Mike August, August. Mike Dawson is the guy with the raspy voice. Mike August is the guy who sets up the stuff, right?
The booker guy, yeah.
Yeah, and he looks like that lesbian singer. What's her name?
Katie Lang.
Yes!
Yes.
Exactly, her.
Well, it's so weird because we do the whole show, and then it's cool. He goes, all right, Matilda's Bar is in 0.2 miles. Why don't we go there? Because he's meeting with Roadhard backers, which is a hilarious thing. By the way, we went to the backstage, and we're just chilling and eating some pizza, and two Roadhard backers come down there. They paid $2,000 for Roadhard to get made.
Wow.
And they're almost like – it was almost like scripted because they were like something that you would see on a TV show, like a little overly like fanboyish meets – uncomfortable meets rambling on meets but still pretty nice, and he was a lawyer, so he was a nice enough guy, but it's kind of like everybody had left the room and they were still like talking about how cool it was to be in Adam's presence and stuff.
They must have money though if they're gonna give up that kind of
that's what I was thinking. So yeah, so then we go to this bar, and even Mike August is getting girls pulling him aside saying, it's Mike August. And I go to Brian, I go, how do people know what Mike August looks like? I mean, there's no pictures. He's not on social media. He's not tweeting up the storm.
Just my doppelganger website, I think.
I think just the whole Katie Lang thing, to be honest. Yeah. But it was a sweet night in Chicago. I'll never forget it. It was a cool time.
Oh, that is awesome. I didn't even know he was still doing live shows. That's...
Yeah, just like how Adam comes over, he's having a pizza, he sees me, he goes, yeah, so what's your story? And I'm like, friends of Giovanni, big fan, I like music, next. Then he moves on, talks to Kevin, who actually made a fire suit for him like 2 or 3 years ago. He had a custom
racing suit.
Yeah, racing like, suit made. Yeah.
Damn. I'm glad you got to see him. And he's still like my favorite, like if I had to pick one. Comedian, even though I don't listen as much as I should, I still download it to try to get the numbers up.
Nice. He needs those. Now, actually, he doesn't.
Well, but, I feel like I owe him. He hired me when no one knew who I was, you know. I was just some punk-ass bitch. And now, like, I have no free time, you know, because I'm I can't even do this show properly. Because now I have a real job. That's the trouble. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's a give and take. I mean, you got the nice job at least, so... Eventually, you can afford a little more free time once you build up some, you know.
That's right. When I can get an assistant or something. But yeah, being an agent is not, it's not like Ari Gold, you know. Well, yes. I guess it is for my boss, but I'm still a junior.
You're Ari Gold's assistant.
No, I'm not though. No. I'm above that. Like I have.
Oh, you
to
are
do,
nice.
Yeah, I have to do agent stuff. I'm not just like putting mail in mail slots. I'm booking people.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Nice. But, like, just as I'm going to do a little tie-in here. Just as Adam is so quick to pull something out of his brain that you would never think would be existing in there completely randomly, that's something that is true with any good rapper, any good freestyle rapper. I know Jay-Z's never been known as a freestyle rapper, but he's just he's good at turning a phrase. He's almost more like an author who can just write a beautiful scene. Right?
Sure. Oh, sure. I like I said, that this album is awesome. I mean, the second one, what was the second one called? The Life and Times?
In My Lifetime, Volume 1, I think. That's when he started to get into the Puff Daddy. He started suiting it up a little.
Can I Get a Fuck You, right? Wasn't that on there? And Ja Rule was...
Well, he had... Okay, so 96, he had Reasonable Doubt. 97, Volume 1, In My Lifetime. That had Wanna Be My Sunshine.
That's right.
With Babyface.
The third one.
The third one he hit out the park with Hard Knock Life, In My Lifetime, Volume 3.
Yeah, but that was still kind of like poppy. Sure. This one was like, it was more rugged. It was like, I don't know, he's talking about like Goodfellas and shit the whole album.
The whole thing is just based on mafia-related themes, and there is really not too many concessions to pop music.
That's
even
right.
Like Mary J. Blige sings the opening song, and it's nothing near a pop song. It's more of like him thinking about all the dirt he's done.
Right. Well, like, he couldn't be further from the mafia, you know? You're not Italian. They would have thrown you in a hole in the desert.
I think he thought he was Italian. I think he did.
What is these, like the gangsters are obsessed with, like, it was Wu-Tang was obsessed with, like, ninjas and shit. And then Jay-Z's obsessed with, like, Frank Sinatra. It doesn't make, like, they couldn't be any more different, you know?
It's true. When's the rappers going to be, like, obsessed with Irish stuff? I can't see it happening.
Oktoberfest beer and, like, sausage links.
Yeah, no, I don't see it happening, but... Yeah, he had been around the block when this came out. I mean, he was born in 69, so that would have been 27 years old, which is just old for a rapper now. I mean, there's no rappers hitting the scene now that are 27.
But look, this is why he made it, though. It's just like George Clooney. Like, he didn't have success till he was, like, in his mid-30s. That's why he didn't fuck it up. And it's so easy to go off the rails when you're successful at, like, 19. Like, anyone would. Anyone would go off the rails. But... Like, it's like these guys, like, do you think anyone's going to be talking about Fatty Wap? I mean, his name is Fatty Wap. Like, how is this popular? He's got one eye, and his songs are stupid. Yet he's, like, super popular right now. I guarantee you no one will know he exists in, like, a year and a half.
It's because he's 19, and he won't be able to truly appreciate the success he's having this year. So he'll go out and spend his money stupidly, he won't invest it correctly, and he'll be broke in 3 years, you know?
That's right. And Jay-Z, like, he was able to catapult into, like, this... I mean, he's arguably the most famous rapper. I would say he's number one. Wouldn't you say he's number one right now?
I mean, throughout the world, yes. I'd probably say he's got to be at least top three. Living, obviously, yeah.
And, I mean, he's been phoning it in the last, like, 50... Yeah, yeah. And that's another guy who's been phoning it in for the last, like, 12 years. I can't even name a song, a Lil Wayne song, since, like, 2005, you know? So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Jay-Z's but, like, never really done, a complete stinker of an album or completely fell off. He just spends his time on other things, I believe, like the Brooklyn Nets and all that stuff.
He's a businessman now. But, yeah, every time I hear, like, this bullshit, like, Drake and Future coming out of someone's car, I want to just... throw this CD through their window like a throwing star and, like, get them in the neck, you know? Here, listen to this. I mean, like, what's the song with Biggie on it, which is so fucking good? It's so good.
Brooklyn's Finest.
Yeah, that song is – he has, like, some reference where he's like, I might, like, knock up Faye and have Tupac's
– Yeah, Tupac. Like, they're comedians on that thing. They're funnier than most comedians.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's really – it's – and I mean, it's lasted. That just shows, you know? Like, it's just like you can watch Goodfellas now, and it's still better than anything else that's made. It's the same, not to tie in with the mafia. I'm sure Jay-Z himself would like that compliment. But
I'd say Jay-Z's the guy who did not get laid in high school. He graduated. He put a lot of work in the gym. He got a nice car. He got a nice job. Spent the rest of his 20s just banging cocktail waitresses, right?
Maybe. I don't know. Yes, you do have to do some hardcore banging to get, like, or what's the black Giselle?
Beyonce?
Beyonce, yeah. She's the black version.
I'd take Beyonce over Giselle. I think so.
No chance. I don't like asses that big. I don't know, it makes you
besides that one photo that all the nerds posted on their walls after that Super Bowl thing, that was just nerds being pissed when they found, like, the bad picture of Beyonce. Do you remember that from 2 years ago? Where there was her doing the halftime show at the Super Bowl where she looks like a frigging monster. That had to have been Photoshopped.
Oh, her facial expression.
And she had, like, hairy legs. I think that was a nerd in his basement just sticking it to the man or something. I don't think that was real.
I just don't like girls that are that thick. That's just not it's just not something I'm into.
So are you into Demi Lovato?
I'm 155 pounds. Well, she's kind of getting fat now, too.
That's
right?
What I was saying. She's thick, and I like it. Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't like it. I mean, it's to each his own. I don't know.
Nicki Minaj?
No, like, she's nasty. Oh, you know, speaking of Nicki Minaj, I don't even know if I told you this. Like, I can't believe we've been doing this show, and it's been slipping my mind. But MC Light, okay?
Sure.
Her office is across the hall from mine.
Really?
She talks to me, like, every day. Because I think it's because she thinks I'm, like, part black. You know,
nice. Got the mulatto thing going. Really?
Yeah, I kind of look part, you know, I could totally be like Drake or something, like a handsome version.
She was and is a big deal, I believe. Yeah.
Well, now she's like a businesswoman. But yeah, she was, as far as I'm concerned, she's the best female rapper of all time. I don't even talk about that though. I just like ask her how her day is.
Is she still in the music business or in TV or what?
I believe so. I don't know. We're just basically buddies. We don't really talk business. But, yeah. I mean, she's a grown woman now. It's like she's like 45 or something. So
I've got stuff with her on it. I'll look it up. But I just can't pull it out right now. But I know – I think she's done stuff with Jigga and a whole bunch of other people too. She was – yeah, she had been around it by the time the mid-90s and late 90s had hit, right?
Sure. Yeah. She started in the early 90s. I mean, she was there at the beginning.
That's really cool. Do you know her real first name? I'd like to know.
No, I do not know.
You just call her Light?
We don't say each other. I don't even think she knows my name.
Nice.
I'm the only one in the, like, I work from, like, 9 a.m. to, like,
just water cooler talk?
Yeah. Well, no. Well, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., I'm there. So she's always, like, she keeps, like, weird hours. So she'll see me in there when, like, no one else is there and I have the door cracked open and... Like, I'm best friends with the janitor. Because, no one else in this building stays there all
night. You're, like, open to close.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
He's like, time for you to go home. That's what he says every time he gets there. Because he works from, like, 8:30 to 9:30. And so I'm there after he leaves.
Damn.
And he's like, yeah, so it's funny.
Putting in work. But, yeah, every episode I like to do a little spiel from Wikipedia. Because I know it's the most trusted format on the internet.
Okay.
But this is actually pretty interesting. I'll make it quick. But, okay, I'm going to sound like the Micro Machines guy, but just real quick. In 1989, aspiring rapper Jay-Z was recruited by mentor Jazz O, which is kind of a very similar name, to appear on his song Hawaiian Sophie. He appeared on two or more Jazz O songs in the next year, but after Jazz O was dropped from his record label, Jay-Z dealt drugs to support himself. He continued to pursue a rap career and appeared on two songs from Original Flavor's 1993 album Beyond Flavor. Jay-Z then caught Big Daddy Kane's attention and toured with him. They collaborated on Kane's 1994 posse cut Show and Prove, along with Old Dirty Bastard, Shaheem, Sauce Money, and Scoob Lover. Despite the exposure he received from Kane, Jay-Z was still without a record deal. He began selling tapes from his car with help from friend Damon Dash. The success of the street-level marketing led to a deal with Payday Records, which released his first solo single. In an unconventional move at the time, Jay-Z then spurned the record contract he had long sought and left Payday Records to form his own label, Rockefeller Records, with Damon Dash and Kareem Burke. Jay-Z later explained that he thought he could do a way better job of marketing his own records on his own. I think that's kind of cool, just a way, you know, he's definitely an entrepreneur back even when he was in his early 20s, you know.
Well, hell, none of this stuff, like, happens like magic, you know. It's just people don't want to put in the work it takes to get to be where he is. I mean, you have to start there. You just do. That's how it happens. I mean, I guess 1% of the time your mother is Blythe Danner, and you get to have Gwyneth Paltrow's career. But that's very rare.
It's
that's
rare.
That's extremely rare. Every so often there's a Justin Bieber who Usher like takes under his wing. But
I was gonna say, what does his parents do? I was wondering.
No, you have to remember, like, Bieber has like one of the baddest ass voices of all time. It gets lost because he's such a punk ass bitch and he dresses like Jodeci. But I mean, vocally, he is insanely good. I mean, he's mind blowingly good at singing. So
it is true.
There's that.
It is true, and like now he's got some pretty much like mega million dollar productions behind him. So this album coming out, I smell a number one hit. I'm just guessing, but
I'm thinking about buying a house. This is the latest thing that's been going on with me, nice. And I'm thinking about Calabasas, and now I can live out there with John Spider Sally, with Justin Bieber,
nice.
With Will Smith's son. We can all be neighbors, except my house will be at the bottom of the hill.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, you're on the bottom of it. Nice. But very cool. And what was I going to say? Yeah, in 2015, is the Jay-Z of 2015, is he just giving his SoundCloud out to everybody? Is he going on Facebook all day? You kind of have to do that, or you're not selling shit out of your trunk anymore, right?
That's right. I mean, it's a new era. Like, these people who, in my opinion, like, I just don't think I'm the demographic. They may very well be talented, just not in my opinion. But these people, like, on Vine, like, you can't deny that it gets, like, 50 million views. Like, I would light it on fire and wouldn't blink. It feels like complete and utter bullshit to me. But, hell, it's popular, so I don't know. Maybe I just don't get it. But, yeah, you have to – and as much as I fucking – I think about deleting Snapchat and Instagram, like, all the time. And I'm kind of out of the – I'm out of the game. Like, I'm not trying to be, like, the star myself. Now I'm supporting other people. But – like, even casting directors will be like, how many Instagram followers does this person have? And it's like, oh, my heart breaks when I hear that shit, because it's like...
Oh, I'm sure that's an everyday thing in your field.
Yeah.
It's gotta be.
Like, it's pictures of asses, man. Like, you're hiring someone for an acting role based on how many pictures of assholes? Like, yeah, like, that's not transcendent. I mean, that's going to get people to look at it for a minute, but it's like, it's not, there's no, you're not telling your grandkids about that. Like, it's just, I don't know.
That's true, and like, could you do like an experiment where like a pretty girl just takes a photo and it gets 3 likes, then a lukewarm girl takes a photo and then puts 18 different, you know, hashtags on it and it gets 50 likes? I think that's the whole thing. You got to just put a million hashtags, right?
But like, it's like Allen Iverson said, we're talking about practice. We're talking about hashtags.
Yeah.
Are we really talking about hashtags? We're not even talking about something like art. We're talking about like pictures of bullshit. I think it's going to blow over. I have this feeling that it's going to blow over. It can't keep like getting bigger and bigger, like the housing bubble. Like, it can't just keep getting bigger and bigger forever. Like, it's got to have a stopping point. All this, like, everybody's Instagramming their lunches and like, what am I doing right now on Snapchat? Like, eventually we're gonna have an impacted assful, to borrow a line from Ace. Like, and it's gonna be, I don't know, it's just gonna, we're gonna go back to newspapers or something. That's my prediction.
I have no idea. I was talking on the show about this like last week, and what could happen in 20 years? Will it be even more extreme, or will we have gone back to what it was? I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see, though.
Yeah. I don't know. All right.
We will be right back after this with Spin Class.
Yo, what goes on, people? Jay Porks here. Just reminding you to keep it locked to the Dear Network throughout 2015, where you can get the Tyler Kale Show, the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Porks Experience, or the Andy Dear Show. Keep it locked to andydear.com. 2015, big things coming.
Jigga, bigger, nigga, how you figure?
Yo, peep the style and the way the cops sweat us. Uh-huh. The number one question is, can the feds get us? Uh-huh. I got vendettas and dice games against ass betters and niggas who pump wheels and drive jettas. Take that with you.
Hit ya, back split ya. Fuck fist fights and lame scuffles. Pillowcase to your face, make the shell muffle. Shoot your daughter in the calf muscle. Fuck a tussle, nickel plated. Sprinkle coke on the floor, make it drug related. Most hated.
All right, we are back with Tyler Kale. Spin Class episode, I'm going to say 5, right?
Only 5? I feel like it's been more. Who knows?
I think 4 or 5, but yes, every week a couple clueless Caucasians critiquing the classics. This week we got 1996's Reasonable Doubt by Jay-Z. People think he's been around for 30, 40 years just the way he acts, but really it's only been 19 years. That's quite a career in 19 years, right?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean.
And yes, he's landed probably probably one of the prettiest girls in the world. I mean, one of the most talked about couples. Hasn't had too many hits as of the last 5 years, but I mean, he's helped through his record label. He's found Kanye West, arguably the biggest star of the last 10 years.
Don't forget Memphis Bleak.
Memphis Bleak. I was just listening. Coming of Age is a great song towards the end of the album where you forget about the gangster lifestyle. It's a lot of stuff about a guy meeting the girl and stuff, but there's a lot of stuff about the guy meeting the younger wannabe drug dealer and taking him under his wing.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's Donnie Brasco.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's almost a love song, really. If you listen to it closely, he found this kid, Memphis Bleak, and he wants to hustle. He wants to work harder than everybody else. I mean, I'm sure they talk about drugs, but it could mean anything about business as well. Yeah. And, as far as Memphis Bleak's rap career went, not so good. But he had a couple minor club hits, but not. He didn't possess the imagination and the wit of Jay-Z.
Yeah, I mean, but he was Jay-Z's like number one guy. He was like Tom Brady losing the Super Bowl to Eli. Like, how are you gonna fail when it's all been set up for you? You know.
That is true, and he found other guys too, didn't he? Find Beanie Siegel.
Yeah. Right.
He was a big deal for a couple years.
Yeah. I remember a couple of his songs. Not off the top of my head, but I'm thinking of it. That was in, like, the Fat Joe era, too.
Yeah.
You know, in the, what's the one that died who was like Fat Joe, but fatter? What's
Big
his
Pun.
Name? Yeah, Big Pun. Like Fat Joe, but fatter.
How about Amil? Do you remember Amil?
No.
That was his female rapper. Amil?
Oh.
Look her up.
Was
You'll
that
be like,
the one that was like, can I put my pussy on your mustache?
Something that like was... that. She was in Can I Get A, right?
Yeah, right. That's the one who said.
I hope he didn't like sink millions of dollars into a mill's career. I hope he didn't sink a mill into a mill because he did not get a mill back. I guarantee it.
Isn't that a Lil Wayne song? A mill.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what she's up to. I'm sure she's got 6 kids. Yeah, but I'm trying to think of other proteges he had. But
Well, I want to say one more thing before I got to go. My realtor's cool. About to call me. I don't know. Do you have something else to say about this album, though?
I'm just going to read the review real quick.
Read it.
Is that cool?
And then, yeah, and then I have to talk about Tonight.
Okay, cool. Let me rock this. Okay. Here is the All Music review, and it works perfectly because it is a 5 out of 5. AllMusic.com, great reviews. Okay, by Steve Huey. Before Jay-Z fashioned himself into hip-hop's most notorious capitalist, he was a street hustler from the projects who rapped about what he knew and was very, very good at it. Skeptics never cared for Jigga's crossover efforts, should turn to his debut, Reasonable Doubt, as the deserving source of his legend. Reasonable Doubt is often compared to another New York landmark, Nas's Illmatic. A hungry young MC with a substantial underground buzz drops an instant classic of a debut, detailing his experiences on the streets with disarming honesty and writing some of the most acrobatic rhymes heard in quite some time. Plus, neither artist has never approached the street cred of his debut, The Blueprint notwithstanding. Parts of the persona that Jay-Z would ride to superstardom are already in place. He's cocky, bordering on arrogant, but playful and witty, and exudes an effortless, unaffected cool throughout. And even if he's rapping about rising to the top instead of being there, his material obsessions are already apparent. Jay-Z the hustler isn't too different from Jay-Z the rapper. Hustling is about living the high life and getting everything you can, not violence or tortured glamour or cheap thrills. In that sense, the album's defining cut might not be one of the better-known singles. Can't Knock the Hustle, Dead Presidents 2, Feeling It, or the Foxy Brown duet, Ain't No Nigga. It just might be the brief 22 twos, which not only demonstrates Jay-Z's extraordinary talent as a pure freestyle rapper, I guess he was, but also preaches a subtle message through its club hostess. Bad behavior gets in the way of making money. Pretty awesome. 5 stars, Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt.
It is. I would take the Illmatic over it, okay, but just barely. And they are very
good. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I would totally go Illmatic over Reasonable Doubt. We haven't done Illmatic just because it's such a cliche of being one of the greatest albums of all time.
That's right. But the reason I like it is I always thought Nas was better just on the mic. I don't know. He just had a better flow.
He was able to do it in 10 tracks, and Reasonable Doubt has 15. I think that's proof of just...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good call. But yes, this is still an all-timer. I mean, I don't want to sully it. It's. I mean, if I would give it 5 stars. And that was very well written, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good review. It's a good website. Great album. Can't go wrong. I'd say it holds up at his best. But as they mentioned, The Blueprint was a rebirth. And
yes.
Even that Hard Knock Life was great. He's got 4 or 5 classics,
well,
you know.
That was a sample, right? It's a hard knock.
Oh, that's Annie.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's what that is.
Nice, but you had one thing you wanted to talk about before we get out of here,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Every time I think of you, I think about Billy Corgan, because, like, not only is he your boy, or his brother is your boy, but, like, isn't that your favorite album? Haven't you told me that?
It is, and guess what? It just, we celebrated 20 years last week of Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
Yeah. Oh, well, Tonight is one of, like, my favorite songs of all time. It's really good, because I never understand, like, what he's exactly talking about, being born at a city by the lake.
You know, Chicago, yeah.
Oh, that is what it is?
That is, yep.
Okay, I didn't even want to know what it was. I just, like, to picture it in my mind, like, and whatever, go on that trip. But here's the thing, and I just now, I must have I've been listening to that song, like you said, 20 years, and I never put two and two together, but it has the guitar riff from What's My Age Again.
By Blink-182, that same, like, chimey,
yes,
intro guitar. Yep.
It's the same. No, but it starts out with something else, and then that guitar, it starts out with a different riff, and then that's right. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure that song was known for the what is it? What do you call those things? The violins. Violins,
sure.
And cellos and shit.
And that video won Video of the Year, too.
Yeah, well, it was groundbreaking in that it had, like, string instruments, like violins and shit. I'm pretty sure. I mean,
whole orchestra, yeah.
Yeah, it's foggy now, but I was like, holy shit, that's the same. And, like, even though I'm semi-retired from the doppelganger game.
Which he,
like,
should come back to.
Yeah, I still have, like, it's just like Giselle still walks like a model.
You got to keep loose.
She's old, yeah, you can't turn it off. But I figured you were the only person on Earth who would appreciate that and understand that it is the same.
And I have one cool fact before we get out of here that's Hollywood related to that. When they were filming that video with Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris, who I think are well known in the video making community, but they were trying to find a set pieces for early 1900s stuff. You know, it's supposed to be a throwback to the early 1900s,
right?
Silent film stuff. And guess what? They couldn't find any props of that nature because Titanic was filming in Hollywood at the same time.
Holy
There's
shit.
There's your little tidbit fact that I
heard
from
it.
Corgan.
That was great. You even outdid me, even though I sounded retarded saying I didn't know about the city by the lake. How obvious is that?
I didn't know until like 5 years ago. I loved the song way before I knew what that meant.
Okay.
But
in hindsight, it's fucking blatant.
Obvious.
Yeah.
But yeah, another great episode. We should do it more regularly. You can follow Tyler Kale on all this stuff. Instagram and Twitter, same with me, just my name, Andy Dare.
Even though I just lambasted how much I hate Instagram and shit, like, I posted a selfie yesterday. I had to, sorry. It just,
nice.
Too good looking, I couldn't help it.
Nice, so on behalf of Tyler Kale, this is Andy, signing off for Spin Class Podcast, a couple clueless Caucasians critiquing the classics.
Yeah, come experience life as we know it, as some of you should know it. Yeah, yeah. Place, Marcy, Brooklyn, actions, well, y'all know the actions. I got the shorty on my block, always clocking my rocks. He likes the style of profile, I think he won the mock. He likes the way I walk, he see my money talking. The honey's talking, I'm the hottest nigga in New York. And